I'm going to be here next week again, and this will be part two of my message from today, but I had some things that I needed for this message. One of them, I asked Kyle to record for me so that I could use it during my message. AV always scares me. I got to tell you, I taught all those years, and AV was not my friend. You know what I mean? I mean, back in the old days, when we used to have the reel-to-reel, yes, I'm that old. When we used to have the reel-to-reel, I am probably the only teacher in history that actually had the reel pop off the machine and roll down the aisle, and then about halfway down, it snapped in half. Then, of course, we got real high-tech at Black Hawk, and we got these boards, you know, that work from your computer. Sometimes. And that was always a lot of fun when that didn't work and you're telling kids, just wait. It's coming. No, I guess it's not. But I trust Kyle. Except that when we came in here for our practice this morning at 9, which we always do, the computer wasn't working. It had to go through about 447 updates. So while we stood around up here and waited for the computer, all I could think of was, Kyle recorded that for me, and there's not going to be any computer. And there goes my AV again. But we're good. The computer's working. Thank God. We prayed. It's all good. Running out the door this morning, I forgot my Bible. But not to worry. Pastor has a few here. So I grabbed this one, which is held together with black electrical tape, but not terribly well. And I also had a visual aid, and I forgot it. But it's really okay. I mean, it wasn't exactly what I was looking for, okay? See, the title of my message this morning is Let It Go. Yeah. Yeah, Let It Go, all right? And so I was going to burst into song and whoop my tiara off of my head. I, however, do not own a tiara. I do, however, own a Santa Claus hat with a tiara glued to it. And so I was bringing it, but I forgot it. So I just want you to pretend that I just whooped the tiara that I do not own off of my head. Okay? All right. I do actually have a tiara that is in a trunk in my basement that belonged to my father. That, ready for this one? It was from one of my dance recitals when I was like 5. Yes, folks, I have unplumbed depths that you have never seen. A long time ago. Yeah, many, many years ago, but 8 years of dancing lessons, and buddy, I can do it. Time step with the best of them. Okay. All right, so Let It Go. Now you all know the song. But really, here we are coming up on Christmas. Today is our Christmas dinner. And I thought, Let It Go. God kept telling me this is what he wanted me to preach on. And I'm thinking, Lord, shouldn't I be talking about Christmas? Do you think? Maybe? I mean, yeah, we have New Year's, Christmas Eve and all that. But still, shouldn't I be talking about Christmas? And honestly, it's like the Lord impressed on me. He said, this is the best time for you to preach on letting it go. This is it. Okay, first of all, the holiday season can be a time of stress. Anybody out there feeling a little stressed? Bet by next week you will. Yeah. It's also a time when past hurts and frustrations can really be the hardest to handle. You may be missing people who are no longer with us. You may be estranged from people who are with us, but not with you. And right around the holidays is a time when that can be really difficult. So yes, I thought this was a perfect time to teach on this and use it kind of as a reminder, okay? Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know during this message or next week. I really don't think I am, because you've all been told. We've taught on things like this before, on the idea of letting it go, giving it to God. Okay? We've done that. This is not new to you. But it's one of those things that we need to be reminded of. Because doggone it, we can be hard-headed. Mm-hmm. We really can. We all are, at one time or another. Okay? Let's turn to Psalm 46. Ooh, Pastor's Bible has those little finger thingies on it. That I can't read. Okay, never mind. I'll just go to Psalms on my own. It'll be fine. We'll be good. Yeah, I know. Well, look, when you lay it down, you can read those little finger thingies, but that doesn't help. I was holding it up. Okay, Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Sounds easy, doesn't it? I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, in the world today, there's an entire movement urging people to declutter. And that's not a bad thing. Trust me. And especially at this time of year, they're saying things like, you know, throw things away, give things away. If you're buying kids new toys, donate the other toys, things like that. All right? And it's a good thing to do that. I personally am a pitcher. You know what I mean by a pitcher? I'm like, I don't need this. I don't need that. This can go. This isn't important. All right? They used to actually, in my department at the high school, we had this huge storage closet that was, you know, we'd get new books in, and we didn't have anywhere to put them because it was so stuffed, because we had books in there that no one had used since 1982. So every year toward the end of the year, you know, when school was out, they'd say, oh, geez, we got to get this cleaned out before people can put the books back. And they would send me. They'd say, send Bert. Okay, because I had a couple of colleagues that would hang on to dear life, you know, to things. I mean, there was a set of books. It wasn't even a whole set. I think there was only left like 12. And they were paperback. And half of them were missing half of the book. And it was a writing book. Practical writing book, and nobody had used it, and I was throwing them away, and the one teacher who had taught the class like 20 years earlier was like, no. I said, what? She said, someone, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be using them, but who knows, someday somebody may be hired and they may want to use them. And I said, yes, Cheryl, someone's going to want to use a book that was copyrighted in 1972. You know, so they would send me to the room, and I would tell them, stay out. Because if they came in, it was all over. So I tend to be a pitcher. There's only one problem. I pitch stuff, and then somehow it accumulates again. Anybody else have that problem? You pitch it, and it's like, where'd that come from? Okay. The world is telling us to declutter our external world. Get rid of clothes you don't wear. Get rid of stuff around your house you don't use. You know, get rid of Christmas decorations you haven't used for the last 20 years. They're still in a box in your basement with all your other decorations, but you don't use them anymore. Get rid of them. The world says declutter. Declutter, sure, they hurt. But it's gone. It's over. It's behind you. You have to let it go. You can't hold on. Because it's just hurting you. Okay. In Psalm 46:10, it said, be still and know that I am God. And as I said, it's easy. Sounds easy. Just be still and know that I'm God. But we struggle with that. We struggle with that. When we have prayers that need answered, we struggle with just being still and knowing that he's God. When we're suffering through a trial of some sort, whether it's a physical trial or a financial trial or whatever kind of a trial, it's easy to say, be still and know that I'm God. But we all struggle with it. We do. So what do you do? Well, first of all, I'm here to tell you something. It takes a decision for you to let God be God. It takes a decision. It's not something that happens without you literally, consciously making a decision. You know, we say with our mouths, well, God's God, and God's going to take care of the situation. Yeah, it's easy to say that, just like it's easy to say a lot of things. But it takes a true decision of the heart for you to say, yeah, I'm going to let go and let God be God. I'm going to give it to him. Let's turn to Exodus, chapter 14. Okay, we're looking at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Just imagine, again, what it was like for the Israelites. And God says, just stand still and see your salvation. And the Egyptian army is bearing down on you. That's a toughie. Well, it's kind of the same thing. We all have Egyptian armies in our life. They just aren't technically the Egyptian army. But they might as well be. Because sometimes it seems as though they are just barreling down on our lives and we are backed into a corner with nowhere to go. And what do you do? Again, it takes a decision for God to part your Red Sea. We try to figure it out. Maybe I could cut a hole in this wall. I'm a pretty good swimmer. You know, we all try to solve it for God. Let me solve this problem, God. I mean, I'm praying, I'm asking you to solve it, but let me give you some help. Like you need your help. In fact, you're probably the last person whose help he needs because you might not be in this situation.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if you'll go to 1 Peter 5, 7, I'm going to actually read it from the Amplified. Okay, 1 Peter 5, and I'm going to start with 6, because it kind of flows better. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Ah, this is a good one. Set aside self-righteous pride, so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service, at the appropriate time, casting all your cares, that's all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. It does take humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God to be still, to stand and allow God to be God. You may say, I don't have self-righteous pride. I probably criticize myself more than anybody. And that may be true. But self-righteous pride doesn't always show itself in people walking around puffing out their chests and acting like they're better than everyone else and they've got it all together. Every time you ask God to do something for you and then you try to do it yourself, that's self-righteous pride. Why are you doing it? Because you don't think he can handle it? Or are you doing it because you don't think he's going to answer your prayer? See, that's tough. And everybody's fallen into that ditch at one time or another. Because we can be hard on ourselves. We may not show it to the world. We may not stand out there and show the world. But inside, we can be hard on ourselves. And we're saying to ourselves, why would God answer my prayer? I wouldn't answer my prayer. I don't like me enough to answer my prayer. That's kind of self-righteous pride. The Bible tells us he's not a respecter of persons. So when you're saying, yes, but, you're literally elevating yourself above the word. The Bible doesn't say he's no respecter of persons, except in your case. When you put that little clause at the end, that except me, you're putting yourself above the word of God. And that's not good. As I said, it takes a decision. You have to say, Lord, I put my faith in you to take this over. I can't do this, but you can. I trust you. I choose to let go and release all my stress, all my worries, all my fears, all my anxieties, all my pains into your hands. Let's look at Luke 12, 25. And again, I am going to read it in the Amplified. Luke 12, 25 says, and which of you by worrying can add 1 hour to his lifespan? So if you're not even able to do a very little thing such as that, why are you worried about the rest? It's funny. People will worry about that. They'll worry about it. Bible tells us you can't add an hour to your lifespan. Okay? In fact, medical science, I'm not just using the word, medical science has proven that by worrying about that, you're probably going to kill yourself sooner. Because stress and worry are detrimental to your health. Blood pressure problems, heart problems, nerve problems. You're shortening your life instead of lengthening it. I got this poem in an email, and I thought this was so great, and I wanted to use this right now. It's called Everything. I know you've all heard the one, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Anybody here who hasn't heard that one? Well, teachers do, even if you're a high school teacher, but this one's called Everything I Need to Know I Learned from Noah's Ark. Number one, don't miss the boat. Number two, remember we're all in the same boat. Number three, plan ahead. Remember, it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Number four, stay fit. When you're 80 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Number five, don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. Number six, build your future on high ground. Number seven, I like this one. For safety's sake, travel in pairs. That's a good one, isn't it? Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. There were snails on board the ark along with the cheetahs.
That's right. That's right.
Number nine, when you're stressed, float a while.
Amen.
Number 10, remember, the ark was built by amateurs. The Titanic by professionals.
Yeah, exactly. That's good.
And number 11, no matter the storm, there's always a rainbow waiting.
Amen.
Now, please turn to Zechariah 4:12. Well, actually, don't even turn there. I'm just going to talk about it. Okay? He had this vision. And there were these pipes coming down, okay? Well, let me ask you something. If God was sending you blessings and the answer to your prayers through pipes, and you squeezed off the end of those pipes, what would happen? You'd stop it, wouldn't you? You would stop it. You got to let it go. If you don't let go, nothing's coming out. Your worrying is hindering your receiving. That's a golden nugget. You've all heard the phrase, let God. Let God. And today I'm just saying, drop the D. Let go. Let go and let God. But you can't let God until you let go. As long as you're hanging on, you're tying his hands. People don't want to let God because they don't want to let go. God doesn't need your advice, people. I read a story about an archaeologist, and I could have read the whole story to you, but I'm not going to. Here's what happens. This guy, this archaeologist, comes upon this well, and he's like, whoa. He picks up a pebble, and he drops it into this well, and he hears it hit something metal. And so the first thing he thinks is, there might be some artifacts or something down there. You know, I could really find something. So he goes back, and he gets all his, you know, whatever they use, you know, his shovels and picks and rope, of course. And he ties the rope up on top of the well, and he's lowering himself down into the well, and he's lowering himself down into the well, and then all of a sudden, he gets to the end of the rope, and he realizes it's not long enough. That's a problem. He knows if he yells, nobody's going to hear him. And he doesn't really have the strength to climb back up the rope. And he hangs there. He hangs there until he knows, I can't do this anymore. My hands are going to go. I'm going to give up. So he basically says, God, just let me go into eternity. And he lets go. And he falls 3 feet. You see, he had no idea where the bottom was because it was dark. So he spent all that time worrying and picturing his own death. Falling, who knows how far, crashing to the ground, dying. It was 3 feet. We're all afraid that if we let go, things are going to get worse instead of better. But if I let go, then what? Then what? How have things been going for you so far?
That's right.
Huh? But we're still afraid to let go. God can't handle it. You know that, don't you? Okay. Turn to Romans 10:11, please. I'm going to read it in the Amplified again. In the Amplified, it says, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, will not be disappointed in his expectations. Will not be disappointed in his expectations. You have to rely on him. When I read that scripture, especially when I read it in the Amplified, I thought of a joke I heard years ago. Okay? I'm going to use it as an example. Please, okay, do not think that when I tell this joke that I am giving you license to go out and play the lottery. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right? Because I'm not. Some of you do it anyway. I got nothing to do with that. Okay? But the joke does have to do with the lottery. This guy, he's praying. He's praying for years. God, let me win the lottery. God, let me win the lottery. And this goes on. This goes on. Oh! That goes over. That goes on. Thank God it's only water. And this goes on. Okay? And he's thinking to himself, if I win the lottery, he's thinking all the things he can do, all the bills he can pay. But it never happens. And finally, one day he's praying and he's like, God, why won't you ever let me win the lottery? And God says, could you meet me halfway and buy a ticket? You know, we're all like that in a lot of ways. Not as far as the lottery is concerned, but as far as other things are concerned. God, could you do this for me? God, could you do that for me? Well, first of all, could you meet me halfway? Could you find some scriptures to stand on? Maybe. Here's a good one. Come to church. Read the word. Meet me halfway, God's saying. And most of all, he's saying, let go. Let's look at Matthew 6:25. Aw, oh, bless your heart. You came with a muppeen. Thank you.
Muppeen, I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah. Okay. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Now, do you interpret the scripture the way it's written? Or do you interpret it this way? Therefore, I say to myself, worry about your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? What will you wear? Quietness has never been one of my problems. And I'm Italian. Okay. Notice Psalm 91 says, surely, surely, okay, surely, that means with a surety, we don't serve a maybe God. Now, right now, Kyle, we're ready? I want you to see something. Yeah, please, please, God. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not going to worry about it. Huh? Look at that. I think you'll all recognize what Kyle is about to show you. I hope you do. I want you to watch closely. Now, as I said, you're probably all pretty familiar with this. I know I am. But there's something that I noticed when I watched this. You know Linus. Linus has a blankie. And Linus is attached to that blankie. I mean, he is not letting go of that blankie no matter what. Am I right?
Right.
Nobody can embarrass him into letting go of it. It doesn't matter. And it's really interesting because, you know, Linus is kind of an intellectual character. He kind of comes out with wisdom, you know, and things like that all the time. But yet here he goes with this blanket, this security blanket. And nobody can embarrass him into giving up this blanket. But I want you to notice, as we saw this and he was reciting, he drops his blanket. Do you know where he dropped it? When he said the words, "Fear not."
That's awesome. Pretty good.
Linus let go of his security blanket when he said the words, "Fear not."
Wow.
Let it go, people.
Amen. Let it go.
And that's it for today.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Amen.